Do you have somebody in your life who loves books?
Somebody who not only loves books, but always wants to share what she's reading with you, thinking that you're going to love her latest selection.
And inevitably, you just can't stand that book that she suggested.
Wow, does that ring true? That is us.
Oh,
we both read a lot. Well, I don't even read. I listen. But we very rarely agree on what constitutes a good read.
I enjoy books that build up new worlds, whole new earths maybe, that invite magic and mystery into our lives. Science fiction and fantasy rule.
I listen to a variety. Can you tell how much this hurts me?
I can.
But it's all grounded in reality.
Meh.
You can keep your elves, space operas, and hobbits.
Oh, that hurt me so much. That hurt me so much. Welcome to our podcast, You're Making Me Read What? Your hosts on this monthly podcast are myself, Jessica, and my colleague, Christine. We're librarians who get a thrill out of a great book, but usually can't stand what the other person is reading.
We've each selected some of our all-time favorite books, and each month we alternate between the lists with the goal of persuading the other to enjoy a read she would never have picked up on her own.
So if people ever wondered, like, did they record this intro and they just reuse it every time? The answer is no.
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 Mm-mm. This gets us into the mood.
Even a book that isn't entirely your style may have some redeeming qualities to it, right?
No.
Okay, let's do a spoiler alert real quick, because even though this book was written in 1937, who knows? There
right.
could be some
lucky people.
Some intrepid
lucky
folks
people.
Out there who've never read it before. So now is the time for us to warn you that we're going to discuss the whole book, including it, the ending and any magical twists. So if you haven't yet read The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, which you maybe figured out based on the portion of the intro that we ad-libbed, and don't want to spoil anything, please stop listening now and join us after you've read it. Period.
Huh. Or I'll let that go.
Or decided you didn't want to read it. Okay, I think we need to give some context before we really get into this.
About how this was the nuclear option and my head was going to explode and you knew that the whole time.
So Christine and I started this podcast 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
Longer than that. It's been years. Yeah.
Four and five are both years, yes.
But take the pandemic out.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
6 years maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been six fun years.
It has been.
Generally.
Agreed.
Generally fun years. And Christine always had this this bar, this level-setting mechanism.
Fear, actually. It was fear.
It was fear. Okay. I wasn't going to call it that, but it's your words. It's your feelings. You emote them as needed. That there were a couple of books that I would make her read, which would just be, they would be the end. We wouldn't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to share your news?
Oh, my news. I was like, that you made me read The Hobbit. I think you've already spoiled that. So I'm retiring mid-June. And so we knew that this would be the last podcast. And so I was 100% sure that Jessica was going to pull out the nuclear option and say, oops, you have to read The Hobbit.
It's time. It's time to read The Hobbit.
My precious, it's time.
Oh, my God, that was awful. Awfully delightful. I could up with that as my phone ringtone. And every time it rings, I'll think, aw, Christine loved that book.
I've ruined her.
You have not.
No, you've ruined me.
Oh.
Is that, that's what you'll
aww.
Think. Yes.
I love that I had that much impact on you. So I always knew this one, really any Tolkien book, C.S. Lewis, and that one would have been a real hard sell for you.
Sure.
But there were a couple books we knew that if I pushed them, you would be like, okay, this was real fun. I have other work to do now.
My brain would melt and that would be the end of
yes.
me.
And not to be outdone by Christine and her retirement, I was so sad that she was leaving me that I found a new job too.
Well, the word on the street is that you could not bear the idea of FCPL without me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're
accurate.
Leaving 3 days before I am.
That's true. I have always been an overachiever. So this is our last podcast for
Indeed.
You're Making Me Read What, which makes me kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think of a good present to give you because, you know, your retirement's coming up and I made you read this book that I already knew you hated. And so I figured what we could do is we could spend the bare minimum of time talking about this book. Like you could say,
hallelujah.
You could say, I hated it. And I could say, I loved it. And we could be like, there we go. Podcast done. But then we could talk a little bit about some of the favorites we had from over the years.
That would be lovely.
See, you're welcome. Present
yes.
achieved.
Nice job, you. Nice way to save the last podcast.
I don't know that it needs to be saved. The Hobbit is a classic.
It is. And it just, it absolutely confirms the many, many times I have said, I am too stupid for science fiction.
It's not true.
No, it is. Mm. And I accept it. I'm smart enough for many things, like making my own soap. Not mm-hmm. everybody can do that. Mm-mm. I do all kinds of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Reading science fiction is not among them.
So I take it that you didn't like the book.
I did not.
Mm, okay. All of it?
So here was what I read The Hobbit one time when I was 13 mm-hmm. because I had to mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. I was a school child and mm-hmm. I always did my assignments. Mm. So I was a nerd, I know. And
what?
It was, in my memory, the worst book I have ever read. Like, that was the bar against what everything else was measured.
So this is your flash, man?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent pull. Mm-hmm.
It's on my
list. Yeah. And worst book I'd ever read. And then when I listened to it, it was even worse.
Okay, wait. Did they do voice acting?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a BBC production from a long time ago, and they had this minstrel music.
Of course they did.
That heralded the beginning of each chapter.
Could you pretend like there's a lute in the background? Do you think there was a real lute?
100% there was a lute and horns and all kinds. And every time it would happen, I would mumble, hopefully quietly, so that my neighbors could not hear because I was out in the backyard weeding, all kinds of obscenities. I was like, oh, my God, if I have to bleep, 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 bleep this one more time, I'm going to bleep, 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 bleep.
Okay. I recognize generally that we're different people. And then there are some moments in our life that just crystallize it. Because for me, I'm like, oh, lutes. Of course I want to listen to lutes. It's like I'm in a Ren Faire, but it's just in my own ears.
Over and over and over again. Gosh. Right. So that was awful.
I'm so excited for this. I'm going to go back and listen to it.
And, I will get, because we, FCPL, have many different versions mm-hmm. of The Hobbit. And I should have known because this was the only audio version that did not have a waiting list. Mm-hmm. So that should have been my first.
Mm-mm. It's like a... It's, you like how some people have refined taste?
Some people do.
Yeah. I feel like the lute version of this, and I'm sure there's like some doodly doo doo doo.
Oh, yeah.
Doo 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 doo. Because it needs to sound like you're marching.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's like I'm in a D&D game right now.
Did you actually produce this?
I feel like I could have.
Oh, God.
I want a producer's credit.
I actually am getting itchy right now. there may be hives popping out.
I'm going to check you for a rash.
So that was one dumb thing. And then, okay, I have in my notes, the only little thing I have says stupid stuff. And underneath there are bullets, 7 bullets.
Oh, my gosh, so many.
The river only makes one dwarf sleepy. That's just dumb. Like, and then they're in it.
I'm sorry,
later.
Did you never listen or read 7 Dwarfs? There's one named Sleepy.
I'm done arguing with that. The whole ring thing is just stupid. There's no context.
Not
I understand
yet.
That he does it later. But so the other thing that was super confusing to me, and again, mm-hmm. dumb, I recognize my dumbness. So this was so simplistic. I was expecting it to be like intricate.
Mm-mm.
It was so simplistic. And then I realized.
It's a kid's book.
Well.
Yeah.
But it's not cataloged as a kid's book.
Okay, so it was written as a children's book.
I know. Yeah. And then when I found that out, I was like, okay, that all makes sense to me now mm-hmm. because it is so incredibly simplistic mm-hmm. and, dare I say it again, stupid.
Mm-mm.
That I'll maybe say it louder. Stupid.
Nope, so good. It's so good.
That I was very confused. And you know that I have been confused in the past with some of our selections because I thought they were
different audience,
and it turns out that it was adult or vice
kids,
versa.
Yep.
So that had me a little confused.
No, so Tolkien wrote this, I think I accurately assigned the year. He published it in 37.
Okay.
But he wrote this a couple of years before.
And it took him years.
It took him years, and it was heavily influenced by his lived experience through World War I.
Yep.
And so the reason I picked this book instead of The Lord of the Rings, any of them, because those books are incredibly militaristic.
Okay.
Like, they are battle dissections. It's you know, these many troops with these many supplies went here, and then you went over here to corner them off. And the story is woven throughout it as well, but it is much more highly structured the way that he writes this book. And The Hobbit, because it was written for, they're both for children, but this one was really meant as like a story mm-hmm. story to read aloud and to kind of gather people around you.
Yeah.
The style of writing, the episodic style of writing, where Bilbo is going. So Bilbo is the main hobbit in this story. And when I was a kid and I read this, because I read it many times, in my head I always called him Bilbo Bobjo.
Nice.
Because, you know, if you're going to have two first names, you might as well have four.
Sure.
So Bilbo Baggins, the hobbit. And hobbits are like little short people with big feet and hands and kind of fuzzy ears.
And hairy hands and feet.
Very handy. They live in like hobbit houses, which are like greenhouses where they're built into hills and things like that.
Okay.
Anyway, so they live in this world where there's dwarves and dragons and hobbits and things like, and elves.
Mm-hmm.
And the style of writing in this book is meant to be, it's not like, I'm trying to remember the Pickwick Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how those ones were meant to be published?
Serialized.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. But mm-hmm. they're meant to be like, okay, you would read these two or three chapters mm-hmm. and you see Bilbo and his colleagues encounter this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They can't cross the river. Someone stole their stuff. They're trying
there's
to...
There's a dragon.
There's a dragon. Mm-hmm. So you could read this piece mm-hmm. and then set it aside.
Yes.
This piece, set
and
it aside.
I'm glad that you said that because that was something that I found to be a problem mm. because it was very... It was like episodic.
Yep.
And there was not a lot of continuity or
oh.
it was not woven together to my way of thinking.
So when I read this as a, I don't know, 10-year-old or something
right.
like that, I read it with family
mm-hmm.
and it was structured in such a way that you would finish this set and then you would set it down.
Yep.
Because you were doing it together.
Yep.
And I think he's dead, so I don't know this, but I think that's why he wrote it that way, so
mm-hmm.
that it could be intentionally done for children
mm-hmm.
as both a learning device from what he learned from war experiences,
mm-hmm.
highly contained and shrunk down for children.
Sure.
And set in a magical world of Middle-earth so that you can take some of the horrors of mm-hmm. war and turn it into something palatable that still has lessons in it.
Yep.
And also has a dragon and a ring
and
other wonderful things. Because it's so good.
Ignore the last parts
so
of what you
good.
Said, but I am going to accept and agree with the first part. Like
okay, you don't have to. You can hate it.
Well, I still hate it, but it makes more sense to me. So I appreciate that the idea of, first of all, reading it aloud
yeah.
and having it as, it does feel very much like a moral, like a teaching
absolutely.
Book. Like,
yeah.
you know.
It's like a very, very, very extended Aesop's Fables.
Yes.
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 Yes, yes.
And he, I believe, was influenced not only by his experience in the war, but also by mythology.
Absolutely.
He loved mythology.
Yep.
And so that's another thing we have in common in that I hate mythology.
I love mythology.
Yeah. So, you know,
I feel
was going to struggle with this no matter what.
And I feel incredibly guilty that we are wrapping up this podcast and we've never read a book that is specifically situated around Greek or Roman mythology.
It because is so good.
I love them so much.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of those kids in like third and fourth grade where, you know, you'd go into the school library for like your scholarship. The Scholastic
uh-huh,
Book Fairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that book that talked about the Roman gods. I wanted to know more about Demeter and about Zeus and Persephone and Hephaestus. Like, oh my gosh, I love those. And I still read romance books that are like framed around that type of mythology, although highly sensationalized.
Sure.
I can't believe you don't love those.
I am so
How
happy that we have
you?
Those books for people like you.
Yeah.
And I am even happier that I am no longer in school and no one can make me read them because...
I mean, I could have if I thought about
yes,
it early enough.
And thank God for that you did not because...
We'll do a bonus episode.
No,
yeah,
no, we won't.
Yeah,
I'm busy.
Bonus.
I'm going to be super busy doing all kinds of other stuff. But I... the other thing that I hated as much as I hated... Actually,
sure.
probably more because it was longer,
yeah.
was The Odyssey. And I had to read that in ninth grade, and it was horrible to me. It was like punishment. And we would read it in class, and you had to read, you know, certain chapters were assigned.
Yeah.
And I would go into English class shaking because I hated everything about it, and I hadn't understood it, and I'd taken notes, and I still hated it.
Oh, my God.
It's punishment to
I
me.
I am so glad you've never told me this before because I don't think I can be your friend. The Odyssey is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I need to. My whole universe is shook. Okay. Wait. I'm scared now to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really fit within the confines of our podcast, but this is the last one, so it doesn't
sure.
matter. How do you feel about Shakespeare?
Love it.
You are so weird. Okay. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go. Okay. So the only other thing I wanted to talk about with this, because I think everyone, all of our many, many, many more than
Both.
Two listeners.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Understand that you did not like this book and that I loved it, and that's fine.
I think we've made our position clear.
We've made
clear.
That position. I am going to hazard a strong guess mm-hmm. that you have never watched any of the movies.
I think I had to watch it as part... Okay, yeah. So Actually,
not on purpose.
No, no, it was part of the assignment. I think a version of The Hobbit, and I think it was compressed. I think it was the Lord of the Rings trilogy with The Hobbit together because it was absolutely interminable. Mm-hmm. But I was 13.
They're so long, yeah.
And I was 13 and I watched it and I remember thinking.
You didn't watch the Peter Jackson version.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
But I remember thinking, I can never use the word precious again. Like, I'm going to precious metal? Nope, call it something else. Yeah. Just call it gold or platinum. Uh-huh. And precious stones? Nope, they're just gems.
That's how I feel about the word moist.
That's just a bad word in general.
That's just a bad word. Yeah. So precious, understandable.
Thank you.
The Peter Jackson versions, while incredibly long, they're even for a love of mine, they're incredibly long. So good. They're so good. So I enjoyed rereading this book. Mm-hmm. I haven't rewatched the movies, either the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit one, which is not as good.
Okay.
But I really like the character. So in this book, it was Gandalf the White, the wizard.
I'm looking at you like I don't understand the designation.
You remember the wizard guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So his name is Gandalf.
Sure.
And obviously, I have reread these too many times. In this book, he's Gandalf the White.
Okay.
But when you get to the Lord of the Rings books, he's Gandalf the Grey because the type of magic he's used has changed and it's changed
his demeanor.
He's able to do, things like that.
Got it.
Anyways, I love the actor who played him in the movies. And so every time I see his name, it just makes me smile.
That's legit.
Yeah, like,
and
it makes me happy.
My husband and I were going to go to New Zealand, and we, in fact, had it picked out. And then we learned that the Lord of the Rings was about to be filmed there. And we were like, stop. Hard no. We are not going to compete with the weirdo Lord of the Ring people who are all going to flock to New Zealand. We have to give it a decade or so, and then we can...
I'm really sorry you didn't want to go to New Zealand with me, but I will take that as the personal friend. You obviously meant it to me.
Clearly. Because I don't think I knew you then.
Yeah. We would have met earlier. Your loss.
We would have met in New Zealand.
I would have been wearing a shirt that says, stop me, ask about hobbits.
And I would have walked right past you.
I would have followed you and said, where's your shirt? This is a convention area.
Okay. Let me speak Middle Earthian to you.
Please let me do that. Okay, so book, fine. You didn't like it.
Surprise.
I already knew that's how that was going to end. So I poked a little bit back through just the list, because this is our 57th podcast.
Holy smoke.
I know. We're good.
We're long.
We are. We have put a lot of energy and effort into trying to share some of the books that we love and get people to think a little bit more broadly about their willingness to read books, even if they just straight up know they're going to hate them.
Exactly.
Because it makes you love the books you love even more.
Well, and I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. Please go. I'll tell you the part I was going to tell you later.
I don't remember what I was going to say now, so it's your turn. It's too late.
But success. as a librarian, this has been very helpful to me because... It really, truly broadened my reader's advisory skills. Mm. And there were multiple times once I was back in the branch of having particularly teens come up and ask me for suggestions. And I was, you know, I would ask them, what have you read in the past that you liked? Mm-hmm. And started the reader's advisory reference interview and realized, oh, that sounds like a book that Jessica made me read. And then I'd have to look up to see what the title was. But I did pull... a good number of them, and I think the kids liked them. So, yay you.
I love that my reading style closely mimics pubescent teens. That they're like, oh, yeah, I like that book. I'm like, me too. I also like that book. Which, you know, it's fine.
We all have our gifts.
I'm intergenerational.
Sure.
It all works out. So I was looking back through it, and, you know, it's a lot of books to have read. Mm-hmm. And the first one we did was We Free Men by Pratchett, which was one of my selections. Mm-hmm. And I have this very clear memory of you coming in and being like, why are you reading the 39th book in a series?
Yeah.
That was weird. What's happening here?
Do you remember the panic attack I had before we...
that you'd have to read all of them to catch up?
No, the panic attack where I actually put my head between my knees before we recorded the podcast because I was like, I can't talk about this. This is too weird.
Yes. And you did a great job. You know what? You didn't conquer your fears. We use our fears to bolster us up in different areas.
Sure.
And... I loved that book.
Yeah.
I loved, in my head, the audio that goes along with the little blue men.
Yes.
The little wee free men and Tiffany Aching and her many adventures. I don't know. When I first started this, I would keep my print books, and as I was reading them, I would pull off little pieces of Post-it notes, and I would stick it in there for, like, words that I really liked and phrases. And now I'm like, okay, I've got 10 minutes. How many notes can I write about this book? So I will certainly say from my side of things— I have been a little bit more footloose and fancy free with my preparation work over the years.
We did do, I think, a lot of prep work about the authors and try to figure out, you know, who their influences were and why, you know, kind of read into their imaginations a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with this one, I was like, yep, it was him.
Mm-hmm. It was that
guy. All know.
It was that guy. He's not around anymore, but he
has initials.
He has so many of them.
A lot.
So many.
He excelled in initials.
And so many other things. Ha ha! So that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first book that you picked after that was My Man Jeeves by P.D. Woodhouse.
Chappie.
What?
Woodhouse.
Wood.
Yeah, you'll get it one day.
It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
Woodhouse.
Woodhouse.
That's not kind. Like, it's spelled W-O-D-E.
H-house.
Yep. Woda.
Woodhouse. Yeah. I feel your pain.
Anyways, Chappie.
Yep.
So, do you still have fond memories of that particular one?
Yes. I like that you were just like, I don't think I got this.
Mm-mm, I did not. And did not. I still don't, obviously.
Which
I can't remember how to say the
person's
name.
Because we, part of our longstanding relationship has been humor. And so, and we enjoy each other's humor, I think, very, very much and have a large overlap with humor.
Mm-hmm.
But not this.
Mm-mm. No, this one was a pass for me.
As was Flashman.
Oh, that was awful. That was a punishment book. That one was like a book where you picked it and I was like, man, is she mad at me?
So that's interesting because there were a bunch of those books that I really, because I had read them such a long time before I knew you and I wasn't reading them with you in mind.
No, of course not.
That I, you know, I glossed over the things that had I really thought about it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Jessica can't do this. Like, Kick in the Hornet's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
With the Dragon Tattoo.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Also known as Men Who Hate Women.
Blech.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And I don't even, like, the point of this podcast was not like, oh, I really think Christine's going to like this book, Hobbit.
Right.
And it was interesting for some of mine rereading them, too, and thinking like, huh, it's not how I remember reading that the first time.
Yeah.
Or I got more out of it this time.
I
one of the ones I wrote down on here for you was The Straight Man by Richard Russo. And you just... You always look so delighted when you're talking about his books or we're reading them. And it
didn't resonate for you.
It did not for me, but it brought me so much delight to see you so happy about it.
Well, that's how I feel about all of the science fiction. Like, I get a kick out of talking about it with you because you are so invested in it and it tickles you so much. Whereas if I talk to somebody else and they're like, oh, yeah, I really like the blah, 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 but didn't have that kind of effervescence, I'd be like, and we're going to switch topics. But I love talking about it with you because you're so tickled by it.
Well, so one of the ones I had forgotten that we had talked about, and as soon as I was like, oh, I need to reread that, was Set My Heart to Five. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
And it was about the little toaster robot. He wanted a little heart, and he didn't know he didn't have a robot heart because he's a robot, and he fell in love, and he journeyed. Oh, my God, it was so cute. It was so cute. So if this is the first podcast someone is listening to from us, go read or listen to our podcast about Set My Heart to Five by, I think it was Steven Stevenson or Sam Stevenson.
Okay.
S. Stevenson. It was just so sweet. It was just so sweet. And there were some that you had us read that were like classics that, like, I had never read Exit West before.
Yeah, that was kind of a new classic.
It was a new classic, but it was a good one. Like, it was a book that I would never, ever, ever have picked that up on my own. And it was fascinating, and it was worth reading.
I'm glad you think so. That was new to me.
Yeah.
And it had a little bit of a science fiction component to it.
A little bit. But it was so much about how we treat other people and
relationships.
Artificial borders and it was just such a good story that I didn't even mind that there were no hobbits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got past that like a champ.
Sometimes I pull through.
You rise above.
Just occasionally. and then there were some that I'm still kind of mad you made me read.
Sure.
Like The Likeness by Tana French.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That one got you that much?
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
I didn't like it. I was writing my notes for this, and I was like, oh, which one should I put on here? Oh, that one.
Mm-mm. Fascinating. Why are you so angry about The Likeness?
Well, the end. The end was yucky, and it was too scary for me.
Okay.
It was... Mm-mm-mm.
It's definitely a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I don't like that. I feel like somebody could come get me.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want somebody to come get me.
Because you're the person that believes zombies are inevitable.
Okay, let me give you a pop culture reference that will be dated very soon. So there's a new movie trailer out
okay.
for Twisters.
Okay.
Which is the second Twister movie.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. They just added an S.
They added an S. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the first Twister movie came out in, like, the 90s? It's like...
Wait, is Helen Hunt in that?
Mm-hmm.
Then apparently I remember part of my brain does.
It's like, it's about tornadoes.
Sure.
And I watched that movie as a kid and it scarred me.
Yeah.
Scarred me. I will never go see that movie.
Okay.
So like movies and books where it feels like things that could happen in real life that are bad to me.
Yes.
Don't like them.
Mm-mm. Okay, I can get there because I was 7 when Jaws came out.
Oh.
And
did you get afraid of your bathtub afterwards?
No, but we did a whole lot of pool swimming with our arm up poised like a shark.
Dun dun.
Yeah, and
dun 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 dun.
But you're way too high.
Dun dun. Oh, dun, sorry. Dun, dun, sorry, dun, dun. Sorry.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But, you know, I still went to the beach.
Yeah.
Still swam in the waves.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, the likeness for me was that. It was about... I'm not even going to get into it because it would freak me out. But it was close enough to something that could be reality.
Sure.
That it just makes my shoulders hop up.
Okay. Yeah. I can get there. Yeah. So what else did you hate?
Nothing else. I wanted to make sure that we gave one last shout out to Iger, The Surprising Life of Beavers.
That was the surprise pick. Because
it was amazing.
Because of the fabulous reader that I have a crush on, crush.
Uh-huh. I don't listen to it. I don't care about that part. But the book was delightful. And The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie by Bradley.
So that's funny because I remember both of us being like, yeah, but Alan Bradley is Canadian. He's not British. So we were a little puzzled by that whole thing.
Still worked out fine. Like it was a little bonbon of a book.
Okay.
Like, it was a good one.
Okay.
And I was tickled with my own choices that I haven't.
As you should have been.
I haven't enjoyed in a while now. When we did the Traveling Cat Chronicles by Arakawa years ago now.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
It was just, I don't know. When I was looking through this, there were some books I was like, aw, good job us. We've done some really good ones over the years.
I think we have. I think we both really tried to pick authors from non-English male backgrounds and failed miserably.
Solid attempt. Solid attempt was made. So this is our last podcast. This is our goodbye to all of our many, many, many friends out in the airwaves.
Mm.
Mm.
Bye, both of you. You can call and write. We'll know who you are.
So how are we going to say goodbye this time?
Well, we could say... thank you for joining us on You're Making Me Read What?
And if this book wasn't your cup of tea, there are millions more where that came from.
So go grab great books.
All of them.
Maybe even books that you wouldn't ordinarily. Maybe stretch yourself and pick some books that if you're a Jessica reader that you think I might suggest. And if you're a me reader, think of something Jessica might suggest and just push your boundaries.
You know what? And grab that book with a cover that looks intriguing, even if you don't entirely care about the synopsis on the inside. Because sometimes, you know, a book with a good cover is a good book to read too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has been a joy.
Same. We'll miss all of you, our listeners, and we hope that you keep on enjoying reading out there. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.